I understand you are a Wilmingtonian by choice. Can you tell me about that decision?
Yes. I've actually been working in the city of Wilmington for far longer than I've actually lived here. And everything, all the jobs that I've actually taken has had some type of a human service aspect of it, where I'm actually serving those the residents here. And there's something about the heart of the people here for Wilmington. They really pull on you. Compassion, empathy, things of that nature. And so when I started looking for homes, I was living in Claymont at the time. I figured, what better place than to live actually where I work?
So how long did you work in Wilmington before you decided to move?
Perhaps about 8 years, maybe. Well, I worked in Wilmington about 8 years, and then I actually moved here about, it'll be 12 years soon.
So what are some of the issues you've seen in the community during your time in Wilmington that really compelled you to run for city council?
Well, the district that I live in, I'm not certain whether or not everyone knows, but we've had a closing of a Boys and Girls Club, and it's pretty much at the bottom of my street on Elm Street. And in the time frame that I've actually lived in the 6th District, I've seen the Boys and Girls Club close. I've seen the pool close at Canby Park. I've seen the Girls Inc. relocate. And actually, even though it's just outside my district, the skating rink turned into a used auto lot. So we actually have very little programming for our youth. And I actually work for a community center. And so it's all about making certain that our children stay engaged so that they won't look outside at the street corners or such for entertainment or for mentors. And so that's one of the reasons why I definitely wanted to run.
So working for a community center yourself, how do you keep the kids engaged? You know, how do you convince them to, you know, come to some of these programs once they're back in the community and really stay involved that way?
Well, once it's a little bit more difficult once they've already reached the streets, but it is a trust, making certain that people understand who you are, that they recognize you. I've worked at the community center just for about 5-6 years now, formerly in healthcare. I work for the West End Neighborhood House. It's located in like the Little Italy section of Wilmington. And when it comes to our young people, I was a restorative justice coach, and I was helping some of our young people learn more about giving back to the community. After we dealt with young people who actually had some type of run-in with our justice system, and if they did not have their education, we were making certain that we provided that. But then there were other aspects. You had to have it more holistic and round it off. So we were doing lots of volunteer activities. We would deal with our food bank. We would go visit our elderly at the Emily Bissell. Like, we've always made certain that they got a chance to give back and see what positive aspects of giving back is instead of always taking. When it comes to the programming, I would love to see it start back up again, but then we still have to make certain that it's today's programming. 2017, we cannot think that we're going to get young people walking in the doors if we're still doing 2008 programming. So
what are some of the types of programming in this day and age that you think would attract some of the kids?
Well, a lot of our kids are very creative. Some of the things that I've seen recently are lots of the open mics. You know, people are singing, people are rapping, people are doing spoken word. They are creative. We, right now, Wilmington, it seems like it's going through its own renaissance, where I've run into so many different artists, so many great people, and so many young people who do not want to work for others. They want to have their own. So to be able to foster that, to encourage it, and I think that's the type of programming that we need in order to get to change people's mindsets on how to make money. They need to learn to work for themselves, but legitimately.
And as a restorative justice coach, so I'm glad you mentioned that. I've heard from multiple people that really is a best practice to not only address conflict, but maybe other behavioral issues going on, even in schools or youth programs.
You know, I was unable to do restorative justice as the actual model states. Like, I was not able to connect victims, you know, with the perpetrator, or however, you know, you would like to call that person. But I just wanted to make certain that the person who actually had gotten, who they were made aware of what type of incident happened and why they were, you know, had to be taken away for whatever crime. They understood that, but then it's like, now you can do something positive. Let's counteract that. Let's do something positive, and let's see where that goes. And just not just having people do cleanups. We understand it's actually a great thing to make certain that your street looks nice, but, you know, sometimes that manual labor makes them feel like, oh, all you have me out here doing is just, like, you know, sweating. What am I learning from this? But to actually put not only your hands on something, but your heart on it, let them know that these lunches that you're creating are feeding the kids that go to the parks in the afternoon. You know, just by going to play checkers with the elderly, not checkers, it was bingo. Those are residents of Emily Bissell. They could not wait for our Thursdays to come around for all the young people to be excited for bingo. Like, they brought up the activity level, the enjoyment of it. So these are just things, just making certain that other people shine, having someone else laugh. And I think they really enjoyed it. I still run into some of the young people that I work with. We've had, at that program, we had 61 individuals get their GED during that 2-year period. We were very pleased with our outcomes, you know.
That's at the community center where you work?
At the community center. Unfortunately, you know, the grant came to an end. One of the things I've always been trying to encourage people is to make certain that if we can just try to get funding for things that we know works instead of actually chasing grants, you know, but the way things are set up, that's basically where we are. Always just trying to make certain that we have funds to help our children or funds to keep people employed and things of that nature. But when we see it works, we should just keep pursuing funding to keep it working.
Do you think funding is one of the biggest barriers that's, you know, maybe affected some of these yes, community center closings that you've seen in your community?
Well, yes, especially when it comes to the Boys and Girls Club in my area. You know, it was dilapidated, it really was falling down. And so I guess they decided that it would be, you know, in their better interest to go ahead and use that funding instead of keep trying to patch it together, since they didn't have enough money to actually really fix it correctly. They used those funds to go to the other Boys and Girls Clubs. Unfortunately, they weren't able to keep activities or buses shipping the kids back and forth. That was something that they were able to sustain. So our neighborhood got forgotten. It was forgotten. So it's time for us to do something with our kids. And right now, with the, I heard the phrase, what is it, a food desert, and someone told me that we have a youth program desert in my area. And it's true. And right now, my area, my district is the one that's having most of the violent crimes and gun violence. Like, just pretty much three since Sunday. And I think that they need to, just by knowing that all these closures may have some effect on the reason why we have such a spike in violence in my district, I think they should just weigh things out carefully and see whether or not, you know, is it worth it? Maybe we can find the money to do something for the kids over there.
So tell me how it used to be. I mean, were there paid staff? What were some of the programs that were working?
Well, actually, it's funny. I've actually been in contact with a gentleman. His name is Devin Fletcher, and he's the founder of a musical program. It's called Imperial Dynasty. And they were in there, like, really heavy. They had, like, a large group of kids in there. So they were not only just practicing, but teaching, you know, music to the children. We've reconnected, I'm glad to say, since I've been, you know, he actually lives in my district, and help making certain that they find places to practice, They are a great, not only a great team national, but international as well. And I don't think that they get the notoriety that they should, that people recognize all that, that he's doing, especially here with for the city of Wilmington.
So he's been previously practicing in that space? Yes.
Matter of fact, I think he stayed in that space the longest when all the other programming kind of left out. I think they were, and he was able to stay there a little longer. But after some time, it was just that it was basically too dangerous. So they had to go.
So what do you think it's going to take to, you know, get more youth programming back in that district?
I think that we've shed a light on some of the things. And to me, it's going to take funding, but I realized through working with the community centers that I cannot rely just on what the city has or what the state has. We have to look to outside foundations to find funding. It's going to take the public and private partnerships to build our city to where we want it to be. And we just got to make certain that people have an understanding of what we're trying to do. We need to be specific on what we want. And if it's just one piece at a time, then so be it. Then rather try to take the whole thing and just give up because we didn't reach it.
And I imagine finding local leaders to be involved and maybe even run some of the programs might be something that you would look at.
Oh, truly. We actually have great leadership within the 6th District. I'm very pleased to have met those people while I was running. When it comes to running that program, I do believe in the Boys and Girls Club. And I believe that they can actually find leadership for that program. It's just that we need to make certain that we help them to bring it back, that we help them to find funding. However we need to help to make certain that we have it there. Once the doors are able to be open, the kids actually hung out there on that corner for a while before they finally gave up and realized that the doors weren't opening anymore. So I'm like, I believe that once the doors open, they'll come back. I don't think it'll be a hard task. And I think what we'll need to do is we'll make certain that we invite the parents and let them know this is what happened in your community and we needed you to really fight for it.
What's the name of that Boys and Girls Club? How long has it been closed?
Well, it's actually called the Jackson Street Boys and Girls Club. Oh, I want to guess. I think it's probably been about 5 years, maybe even 6. Okay. Yeah.
So the gentleman you mentioned with the percussion group, is he interested in getting back involved with the Boys and Girls Club?
I believe that he probably would be as soon as we can find a way to get the doors back open. But he's been maintaining, and I just want to make certain that I support him any way that I can. For right now, he's just making certain that he has a place to practice every weekend for his young people. That's been kind of trying at times as well. Now, but they're doing great, and we just want to make certain that we support those who are doing something for our children.
Any other issues or any other best practices in terms of youth programs? I imagine you have a lot of ideas working at a community center yourself.
Well, we actually have a huge park in my neighborhood. It's called Kosciuszko's Park. I live in Hedgeville. Right now, there have been lots of issues with the park, and they've been trying to make corrections. I would love to be able to give them my input on parks, but I really want to see exactly what I don't want to mess up the trajectory that they've already started on. Like, if they already have a path, I want to see exactly what it's, you know, where it leads to.
What are some of the concerns about the park that you've had?
Well, we've already seen, there's a shed that's actually being completed, and it's actually taking a little longer than we expected, only because of the contractor that's been used. But it's a great, the idea behind it was great. They used the challenge program, which is actually our young people who need GEDs, and then they're being trained for contract work. So, but you have to deal with education and training and then coming out to actually do work on the shed. So it's taking a little longer, but I'm encouraged that with this so far, 2017, we'll finally see that come to completion. But comes to the playground and the basketball courts, there's actually a tennis court that really doesn't have a net, only because I've been told that people are removing it or cutting it down. And so it has the the ability to be a great park. It just needs some, you know, some touch-ups.